Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wild Ones podcast, the show where we chat about bike stuff. Francis is back in the building.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
It's nice to be back.
Good. It's good to have you back.
You're right. What have you been up to?
Spending time with family.
Nice.
It was very nice.
You were in here recording yesterday.
I feel very relaxed and chill. I was, yes, recording with Nick in here yesterday and had a great time doing that as well.
Anything of note happen?
Draw it out. Draw the blood out of the stone.
I thought we were going to save this for fluff up of the week, but
we have so many fluff up of the weeks already. You can just go for it now if you want.
I was filming a video with our friend Nick, the bike mechanic from the shop nearby, and he had his daughter with him because he was looking after her all day, and she was here minding her own business, watching Miss Rachel. On YouTube, bigger YouTube channel than us.
She's a genius.
More subscribers. The quality of that content is extremely good. And then she weed all over the floor. Catherine, not Miss Rachel.
I was thinking.
That would have been a weird video.
So that was our first fluffer for the week. Starting on a Monday, we've already got one in the bag. We've got some more to come as well.
We also, of course, have the wonderful producer Emily in the building.
Hello.
So what's up with Emily?
Well, I have been exploring the world of AI this week. There's been quite a few stories come out about it. Did you know that celebrities are actually using AI to create clones of themselves to talk to fans?
Clones?
Well, I say it's online clones. It's deep fakes. So there's a musician called FKA Twigs, mm-hmm. and she revealed that she's created her own deep fake that she uses to interact with fans and journalists so that she has more time to focus on her music.
But they know.
They know, yes. I think she was in front of Congress or something talking about the dangers of AI, or, you know, the idea of AI getting out of control. And she was saying that she's created this deepfake, but she owns the rights to it and she should be able to do that. However, other people shouldn't be able to use her image. But it's interesting, isn't it? Like Meta last year paid millions of dollars to like Snoop Dogg, Kendall Jenner, Mr. Beast to create chatbots of them based on their personality. So you could go online and talk to this lass called Billy, who was actually Kendall Jenner's voice.
Someone did it to MKBHD, Marques Brownlee, the tech reviewer on YouTube,
right,
without his permission.
It's so
bad. And they posted it and tagged him in it, like, I've done this. And it was like a kid who'd made it with all their like freely accessible information. And then he was like, probably should have asked me. Got really pissed off.
This is it, you know.
Rightly so.
The more of this we do, the more of our voices are online. We could make probably very good AI versions of our voices. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you guys would want to do? You're sort of mini celebrities these days.
You have no choice but to either embrace it or you get exploited and other people are going to make versions of you. 10 years' time, no one's going to trust anything they see on the internet.
That's a difficulty
videos
of it,
people,
isn't it?
All of that. Well, it's already good enough to fool people.
Yeah.
Maybe not perfect, but if it catches you off guard, suddenly I'm listening to a clip of a celebrity vouching for a product and it's not them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, hang on, that's AI. Mm-hmm. But that's now. What about in 5 years' time when that gets much more advanced?
Well, I have a theory that in the not too distant future, probably decades, it won't be a case of being nervous about if something's real or not. It will just be that everything isn't real. So like news, I think TV, like news journalism is a great example of it. We watch people sit in front of a camera and tell us what the news is and then tell us what the weather is and present information to us all of the time. I think there'll come a point where there is no reason why that wouldn't be AI.
Yeah.
You could just do it with one person as someone that writes a script, press enter, and then you've got a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or a podcast.
Yeah.
Someone could replace us. In fact, actually,
this whole podcast has been AI and we fooled you.
Didn't Joe Rogan do that?
Did he?
He did something like that, didn't he?
I don't watch it.
Well, I have a question for you both. Do you want to hear what your own AI generated podcast would sound like? Because I have made it.
This is such a surprise.
It is a surprise.
Sometimes we know what Emily's going to do, but not today.
I thought this would be more impactful as a surprise. Do you want to hear your own AI podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I do.
You do, Jimmy. Also, full disclosure, I have taken your voices against your will and made it AI. So
That's fine. Yeah.
You own the rights to our voices anyway.
Okay, yeah. Fine. So here it is.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wild Ones podcast, the show where we chat about bike stuff.
Whoa, Francis, we sound so real.
I know. It's crazy. And I can be made to say anything. Like, this episode of the show is sponsored by the petrochemical industry for all your petrochemical needs. Only joking, haha.
Haha. Of course we're only joking. By the way, are you watching the Giro at the moment?
Yeah. Pogacar's win on stage two was crazy. That guy is another level.
Totally. He's a beast.
What are you two idiots chatting about? Get on with the show, will you?
Is that Nick?
That was Nick at the end.
I was like, that doesn't sound like Emily.
Yeah, no, I didn't do myself because I ran out of the free trial, so I had to stop there. But
I sound more like me than Jimmy.
Yes.
Nick sounded really like Nick.
I thought Nick had a twang of like Australian there.
What are you two idiots chatting about? Get on with the show, will you?
But Jimmy sounded crazy. I had to do a few different versions. Do you know what I think it was? Because the audio I used of you was the intro where you're like, welcome, da-da-da-da. So it was like, whoa, Francis. Do you want to hear it again?
Whoa, Francis. We sound so real.
I know.
So I have to declare this episode of the podcast is not sponsored by the petrochemical industry. You have to
tick that box on YouTube when you upload it saying there is AI content, because that's a new box.
Really?
So I discovered this the other day. This leads on nicely to my shameless plug for the new Cade Media en Español YouTube channel. I've been fiddling around with some AI tools for dubbing, and I figured some of the videos that already exist on the channel, like the bike fit videos and the tips videos and stuff that is useful to people, currently it's only in English, so why not put it in Spanish, which is a massive market, isn't it? Loads of people into bikes in Latin America, whole of Spain. And I was like, well, let's see what happens if we run it through AI and start a new channel. And I haven't put the videos live yet, but it completely, there's a website, I can't remember what I think it was 11 Labs, is the website I used to translate fully our videos into Spanish. And then you have to kind of go through it and make sure it doesn't trip out because it's not completely perfect. But I think the information is good enough.
And it's going to change your mouth as well to actually pattern
no,
words.
So it doesn't change the video footage. It doesn't change the mouth,
right.
But it changes the audio completely and squeezes it into the same time
frames.
So
it's dubbing.
It's dubbing. Yeah. It's just clever dubbing.
Right, okay.
In our voices, presumably. Or whoever's
yes, it sounds like me and you. We can play a clip here.
He aquí 10 cosas más que desearía haber sabido cuando empecé a andar en bicicleta. No necesitas manillares de caída, pero hay una razón por la cual los ciclistas recreativos y deportivos se inclinan hacia ellos.
And then when I uploaded them, I had a new option on the YouTube upload screen, which was, does this content? It kind of highlighted it for me, so it knew that I'd used AI, and it said, tick this box if it's representing a person but is edited.
Interesting.
Or words to those effect. So I ticked it, obviously. So we'll see if those videos are accepted by the Spanish community. Spanish-speaking community.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, for fans as well, because I can see how scams could be done. You know, if someone who's, for example, a massive fan of you or GCN or Mr. Beast or whoever it is, mm-hmm. and they get contacted through, I don't know, an Instagram account and sent a voice note that says, oh, yo, Justin, do you actually want to come here and get on this bike ride, blah, 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 then, you know, it's going to sound incredibly legit.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's definitely a danger of it being abused in lots of ways, isn't
there?
Yeah. Like, for example, as you said, celebs having to endorse products that they don't believe in, such as petrochemicals, you know?
Also, in the language change stuff.
Yeah.
We don't actually know
if it's correct. They're slipping in ads.
Yes, they could be slipping in ads.
However, Francis, that's not, you are
I ran it by my wife, who speaks fluent Spanish. I also, weirdly enough, the weakest part of the video production process was the titles, which is Google Translate, which is nowhere near as good as the AI dubbing.
Right.
So I need to find like a text to, you know, English to Spanish thing to get the titles right. They ended up really long, and it was, I guess it was a direct translation, whereas for a YouTube title, you want it as short as possible and the right words in the right places. And you, there's a million different ways to construct a sentence, isn't there? But that was the most difficult bit, was the tiny title.
Mm.
So work in progress.
Interesting. Oh, before we move on, actually, I need to credit that section. I listened to a podcast called The Rest is Entertainment, and they did a similar thing where they did an AI introduction. So that's where I got that idea. But also, before we move on, I have a correction to make. So a couple of episodes back, we did an April Fool's news quiz where we talked about beef stew flavored energy gels, which was supposedly an April Fool's joke started by cycling in Flanders. So it turns out that these products actually do exist. A few people messaged us, including a friend of the podcast, Chris Hall, to say they managed to get hold of one. Now, I think it's still meant to be a stunt. These aren't legitimate products that are going to be sold in shops, but they have been given them out at events. So Chris actually managed to get a hold of one of these gels, and he sent us a great video where he opened it and tried it to let us know whether it tastes like beef stew or not. So have a listen to this.
Emily, Jimmy and Francis, I saw recently you were talking on the Wild Ones podcast about these Flemish classic energy gels, beef stew flavoured gel, best served lukewarm after 30 minutes in your jersey pocket. I've got one. They are real. It's not an April Fool's, but kind of is. I got it from Dries, who Francis will remember is the man that loves dragons, who works for Cycling in Flanders, who are the company that have done this stunt, I guess. I got it at Dirty Reaver. I'm going to try it. A little bit of heads up on these. They are vegan, believe it or not, which makes no sense at all. Doesn't taste like beef stew at all. It tastes very sweet, not particularly nice, but very kind of honey-like, very sweet. I like sweet things, and that's probably too sweet for my liking, to be honest with you. But there you go. Flemish classic energy gel does not taste like beef stew.
Chris is vegetarian, so he doesn't know what beef stew tastes like.
Yeah, but I think he has probably tasted before in his life.
I think the weirdest bit about it is that you're going like, oh, this is going to taste like beef stew. You kind of like your interpretation of something impacts what you expect. And then for that to then be sweet, I bet it's a hell of a shock. But it's definitely just a marketing skit for Flanders.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd rather it taste sweet than it actually tastes like beef stew. But yes,
I don't know that's true.
Do you think?
I quite like savory ride stuff.
Okay, fair
don't
enough.
Don't care about that. The most important thing here is that I got an extra point in that quiz that I was conned out of.
True.
And you were like, oh, I got a clean sweep, beat you. Nah, you didn't, mate.
Well, at the time, it was a clean sweep.
Fake news.
This is why I hate April Fools, though. It's so difficult to tell what is real and what's not. And when there's AI involved as well, what is real? Up is down, down is up. We don't know.
Well, everything is April Fools now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Should we get into some news?
Yes, we've rambled a bit now.
So, firstly, our DMs were going wild on Friday night after cycling brand Giro launched a sale on their website with shoes and helmets up to 99% off. They had £330 Giro Empire shoes on sale for £3.59. And there was a £400 pair of Imperial Road shoes listed at £16.19. Some were priced as little as £1.79. There were also some deals like top of the range helmets for around £19 and clothing for under £10. One person who wrote to us, a listener named Matt, said he and his mates got some banging deals. He ended up buying two pairs of top-end shoes for £29.68. He said, it seems like some poor member of the e-commerce staff had missed a decimal point when inputting the sale prices on some of their stock. Jury's out on whether we will actually receive them, but the money's been taken from my account. I've just checked the site and everything is now back to full price. So it's unclear whether there's an error or if it's some kind of marketing tactic, but lots of signs are pointing to it being a mistake.
Yeah.
So someone did message me and said, there's something mad going on. I got straight on the website and was trying to buy some. I think you said you had a go as well.
Nick
had a go as well. Everyone, like we all tried to buy some shoes and it almost seems like they deactivated the checkout.
Because
it wouldn't let me input an address to buy some because I do like a Jira shoe. I was going straight in.
Mm-hmm.
That does make it seem like it's a mistake, doesn't it? It seems like the first few people have managed to actually get through checkout and then they've closed it down.
This happened with Oakley's once.
Did it?
Yeah, when I was over 10 years ago, I remember I was racing for Kingston Wheelers at the time and it was being discussed on the forum and got posted on the forum. Oakley's are like £3 and everyone went and bought them. And then they did something similar to this where they panic deactivated some sort of field in the, so you couldn't order anymore.
Yeah.
But the people who got it through, they honoured it.
Really? Yep. Yeah. I guess maybe you have to.
I don't think they do. I think with e-commerce, because it's distance selling,
you don't have to.
You actually have the right to cancel the transaction.
Right.
Whereas the difference with it being in a shop is if it displays a price, they have to fulfill it because it's there. This is the item. This is how much it costs. Whereas I think with distance selling, they can cancel the transactions.
That's why I carry my little sticker book of prices. I stick to things in shops.
And go, look, it says 4p.
Yeah. And I put it on a penny suite. Oh, no, pay more.
I was literally about to say that.
Shit joke.
although that still would be a discount because penny suites are 10 pence now, aren't they?
That's true.
Having worked in e-commerce previously and been responsible for, when we owned Atticus, we always used to do these sort of like live drops. Stuff would be put up on the website, for example, 10 o'clock at night, and then it would be like boom, and you had hundreds of people waiting for it to go live. So it was really like a don't mess this up. And it used to haunt my dreams, the idea of accidentally just going click and something being wrong. So I don't know whether something similar has happened, but I mean, £1.79 for, there's an argument that if a company's not doing well, then sometimes it makes sense to sell your stuff at a loss just to clear space because holding stock costs money. But I mean, £1.79 for a pair of shoes and £3.59 for a pair of Empires, which are now back up at £330. It has to be a mistake, doesn't it?
There might be something along the lines of the Giro.co.uk website being operated by a distributor that either is no longer going to be distributing them and therefore just wants to get rid of dead stock.
Usually in that circumstance, or they send the stock back to the brand.
Not always. Especially
not always.
At the moment with what's going on. Because I think there's a helmet brand which changed from one distributor to another. And the previous distributor have got like tens of thousands of helmets that they're just sitting on that they can't do anything with. Well, they can sell them, but you know they can't sell them to shops. They're just trying to find ways to get rid of them. So there are things that happen. Because it doesn't seem like it's a decimal point issue.
None of them match up.
No.
If those 330s are now 359, then that means suggests that they were going to sell them for £35, which is still outrageously cheap.
It is.
The Empires maybe, because then that was potentially £161 for a £400 shoe. That could be plausible. But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out over the coming weeks.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, we'll wait and see whether Matt gets his stuff delivered. But it's almost like seeing a unicorn, being able to see find a sale like that at exactly the right time and get some cheap stuff.
I tried so hard. I just wanted my 10 pairs of size 42 Empires.
Next, we need to talk about the drama going on at Elite Wheels. They're currently locked in a patent dispute with a German component company over their new wheel set, which features a dual ratchet hub. This news first broke a couple of weeks ago, but we wanted to wait for Francis to get back on the podcast to talk about it properly. So Elite Wheels is a Chinese wheel brand, and you might recognize the name because they've just signed a deal to become a sponsor of GCN. At Sea Otter a couple of weeks ago, they unveiled their new Helico dual ratchet system, but German company Kvist says it's a ripoff of their design. They say they created the hub design in 2020 and filed a patent the following year. In July 2022, they presented this system for the first time at Eurobike. Then, 2 months after the show, Elite Wheels applied for a Chinese patent of their own version. Kvist's design is currently patent pending, which means a full patent hasn't yet been granted. But from the outside, it does look like they've been ripped off here. Elite Wheels have since put out a statement saying they've launched an investigation and are going to stop sales of their Drive Helix wheels in Germany.
Patent pending still means companies can't copy it.
I believe so, yes. Right? The only way that would change is if the patent was declined for some reason. But if you've consulted a patent lawyer and you've got a pretty robust patent, there shouldn't be any reason that it's declined. And it would always go from the point where it was first filed. So if they filed it in 2021, then that would be the point where they own the copyright.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's no point in us even trying to work out the ins and outs of patent law because we do
next
not
week
know.
We'll have a patent lawyer on the podcast.
I actually think where this is more relevant is it's a court of public opinion sort of thing. I mean, so for you mentioned that they've just become a sponsor of GCN, Elite Wheels have, and GCN was at Sea Otter and they put out a couple of videos about Sea Otter tech, one of which was these Drive Helix wheels, and the comments were just full of people saying this is a ripoff of Kvist, da 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 da. And you know, in some ways I feel sorry for GCN in the sense that they've signed this deal before this is kicked off. They obviously have some sort of agreement that they're going to advertise these new wheels, and now they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I saw that they'd put a pinned comment up of Elite Wheels' statement responding to all of this sort of backlash that they got. But it potentially has an impact for GCN. It has an impact for Elite Wheels.
As someone that is in a similar space to GCN, if something like that happened to us, it would be very horrible and hard to have to deal with.
Yeah.
I can definitely see how uncomfortable it must be for GCN to work around it. Because at the end of the day, they've signed a contract that they either need to work out if they can get out of or what the actual appropriate response is.
That's a bit of news you'd get to and go, oh.
The email comes through, or you start getting spammed with comments on something, and you're like, oh God, what has happened?
I don't think, two things. Elite Wheels already have a really, really good hub, significantly better than a lot of the other brands that they're in the same price point with. So just use that. Secondly, the hub's a really cool design. It does makes sense, and it's quite exciting if you're into that kind of thing. Wait, it engages
which hub? The double ratchet thing.
The double ratchet. Right. So it's just all the grooves on the serrated edges, the ratchets. It goes on both sides, and then the engagement happens more quickly. So when you put power down, it should engage more quickly and feel nicer to ride. The German company, the hub is like beautiful, and they've made this really cool video of there's like a cross section cut out of it, and you can see how it engages and how it works. And it's so cool. I think what Elite Wheels should do, if they have money, which they clearly have if they're sponsoring GCN and they're growing, they've got some backing, just pay for the licensing, make it collaborative. Like, I don't understand why it's just,
well, Kvist might not want to license it. They might say no, it's ours, only we can offer it.
I bet they would.
I mean, I guess that's probably what's going on now, but at this stage, no, Elite Wheels aren't admitting any sort of liability. All they're saying is they're investigating. So if it is found that there's some sort of patent infringement, it also becomes complicated about what regions do your patents cover, and I don't know, it's complex, but I would say, again, if we're looking from an outside perspective, court of public opinion, PR move sort of thing, then yes, it's probably better not to fight these things and try and work out on like a resolution that's more collaborative, because I think people are always going to root for an underdog in this situation.
It's nice that so many people are, because really the people that would be benefiting with Elite Wheels copying or allegedly copying a design and releasing it are the customers. It ends up being a cheaper product.
Yeah.
And really consumers, it benefits consumers.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right, probably from...
in the short term.
If you're engineers, maybe it's better to license your technology than try to be front of house sales as well, because it's a difficult market, isn't it? Like, if you think of the clearly Elite Wheels, if they have the money to be able to sponsor GCN, clearly they have a lot of money.
Well, so Kvist are in a situation where they've designed an awesome hub, and to sell it, no one really buys hubs, do they? They want a whole wheel, so they've had to make a wheel, which is currently, I don't think you can get hold of it. It's expensive to make that kind of product, which is, you know, maybe £1,000, maybe £2,000, holding all of that stock. Like, oh, Elite Wheels already worked that bit out. Mm-hmm. They've already got distribution. They've got factory making stuff. I don't know. I think Elite Wheels could set a really good example here.
They could, yeah.
I hope they do.
Doesn't it feel like GCN get themselves into trouble all of the time? I don't know how they managed to do it. I guess, it's not their fault, but like...
It's just doing loads of stuff though, isn't it?
Yeah.
They do loads and loads of brand deals. They make loads and loads of videos. They're making movies. They're doing live coverage of races. You got an app and you've got this and that and 10 channels and a Spanish channel, which isn't dubbed by AI. It's got real people on, and an American channel. Before you know it,
there's lots of sources. There's lots of
sources
wrong,
of fluff ups.
Yeah.
They're fluff up of the day. They could have a podcast where it's just fluff up of the day. Yeah, yeah. it's not their fault.
So could
it's just these things happen.
So in other news, keen-eyed fans have spotted what appears to be the new SRAM group set on bikes at the Giro and the Vuelta Femenina over the past couple of days. This is leading to speculation that a new SRAM Red could be dropping very soon. We can't say too much, but we think that they might be onto something. So maybe or maybe not. Watch this space or a space that's associated to Cade Media.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
Have you had a look at the pictures, guys?
Yes, I.
For SRAM, the shape of the shifter is drastically different.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I got overexcited about that, but please, the shifter's shape is the only thing that really annoys me about SRAM.
SRAM shifter shape is disgusting. They updated it with Rive, the more recent Rival, which I have.
Better,
but I'm very fortunate to be riding the new Durarace 12-speed shifters, and they are just in a whole different league. Like, make me realize how crap the Rival ones are, even in comparison.
I don't know if it's crap or it's just some people have hands that suit different shifters.
But it's just a block. Like, even the new Rival shape is just like a big cube that you hold.
It's too angular.
Whereas the Shimano Di2 ones are just like these lovely, smooth, hand-shaped, ergonomically beautiful things. Mm-hmm.
Maybe some people have more blocky hands.
So there's definitely, it looks more like the old mechanical shifters, this new red one, if that's what it is. So I'm optimistic. I think the challenge is, the ultimate reasons I'm not that excited about this new thing is they need to get the shifter shape right. Is the SRAM shift going to be as good as Di2 shift? Because Di2 shift is absolutely unbelievable in reality. Yes, no one needs it to shift that well, but it's just lovely. Or alternatively, is it going to be cheap?
Well, it's the front mech for a lot of people. All of my two SRAM bikes don't have a front mech.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment, but I know lots of people moan about how the front mech works, whereas Shimano is really, really good. So perhaps they're changing something there. Perhaps they're adding more gears. I actually don't know.
What do you mean more gears? Like 15 speeds?
Speeds, yeah.
It's getting out of hand.
Straight to 15.
Well, there has to be a reason to make it like a noticeable jump. Because if you go, all right, you can get 11, 12, well, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, then you go, well, it's all the same. But if you go 15, they're like, whoa.
It's annoying, isn't it? At least some things work with that. Like, I've got a lot of bikes with different group sets on, and almost all of them are 12 speed, which is great because you can put a Shimano 12 speed cassette on a SRAM 12 speed bike, and it sort of works. So I can still get to work when I go in the garage and there's a puncher and I just change wheel. Whereas if you're adding more gears, it starts to get annoying.
Looking at these pictures, it almost looks like the shifters are flared. And then
that might just be them pushing their levers in.
No, but all of them. There's a picture of the three lasses.
The bottom of the shifter sticks out.
It definitely looks like it's got a really good reach on it. It's like it's much closer to the bar and it kind of like flares a bit and tucks in.
Good reach as in shorter reach.
Yes, yeah.
So, do you remember we noticed how much extra reach you end up adding when you put a GRX shifter? I can't remember which level of GRX it was on a bar compared to the SRAM ones.
I don't remember that.
It was significant. It was like a centimeter more. Centimeter worse, longer. Worse. Yeah, yeah. Some people want that.
I don't think this is a big deal, but I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like, having a go on it, mm-hmm. seeing if it is a Durace killer.
It's either going to be just the same upgrade that Force had, so nicer lever shape and pretty much it. That's it.
But
it's going to be a full upgrade to SRAM Red.
It is. It's definitely going to be an upgrade. It's a completely, completely different shifter.
They save the special stuff for the top end.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Time for a game we call overrated or underrated. I'm going to read out a list of things and you are going to tell me if they are overrated or underrated. So lots of people have sent in suggestions. Here's a few from Shenandoah in Bendigo in Australia. Big Sunnies. So he says, love my Sutros, but wear them off the bike like a yob.
Hay fever.
Yeah, I like Big Sunnies for anti-hay fever. I dislike them because I have a small face and all sunglasses look stupid on me.
Small Sunnies, a big Sunnies on you.
Yeah.
Very small face.
Mm.
So like a lot of the ones, because we've got loads of sunglasses scattered around, I don't pick up nearly all of them because they just look like silly. You know those like kids goggle, those kids sunglasses, which are like clown ones almost. All cycling glasses look like that on me.
That is what you look like.
I am pretty certain that cycling glasses as fashion glasses are coming in. I can't remember where we were. Where were we when we were walking around a street? London. We were in London for the Van Rysel store opening. And that is surely the capital of fashion. And there were two men, I would say probably in their early 20s, in separate incidents I saw, and they had like big old cycling glasses on their face, just wearing them completely unironically. So I have to assume that they are coming in.
People go clubbing in them.
I think Tom Ford and Prada have just dropped some like new glasses that are basically cycling glasses, but they're not. Oh, and Zara have as well.
Yeah, so there you go. So that was always my limiting factor with sunglasses, with cycling sunglasses. I thought they looked ridiculous, but everyone wears them on a bike, so you blend in. But now, actually, everyone's just going to be wearing them.
I want to get, I keep meaning to do it, but I end up never doing it. I want to get the Oakleys that were fashionable about 20 years ago. So I can't even remember what they're called. They're like... almost like running. They get used a lot in running. I'm going to get a set of them because they're small, not massive, not cool me.
What are we saying?
For me, obviously overrated.
Underrated.
Cycling in the Southern Hemisphere.
Underrated.
I've never done it.
It's all on you, this one.
No, Tenerife is technically not the Southern Hemisphere.
It's not even technically. It's definitely not the Southern Hemisphere.
It's off
the
coast of Africa.
Yeah, but the top.
Isn't the top of... Africa isn't the whole of Africa the southern
no,
hemisphere.
No, Jimmy.
Is it not?
No, the equator is through the middle of Africa.
Yeah, through the middle. Okay, yeah. I would love to do more cycling in the Southern Hemisphere. There's a few places which need prior planning and some careful consideration of where to go. Some places in Africa. Did you see, you know, Hardest Geezer? Russ Cook.
Yeah.
The guy who ran the length of Africa.
Yeah.
First person to ever run the full length of Africa. He did a podcast, I can't remember who with, and he tells the story, which he'd never told, which was getting kidnapped in DRC, Congo.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the sort of thing you'd want to avoid, especially if you're riding a bike. I guess, like, because he was on foot, he was a little bit more, like, stuck. And people weren't going to run after him. He eventually got away by running. But if you're on a bike, you probably get out of situations a little bit quicker. However, you're then carrying more, like, flashy, expensive stuff, potentially drawing more attention to yourself.
Mm.
So I would love to. Just got to be careful where you go.
Yeah, I mean, the Southern Hemisphere is obviously a very large place as well. Shenandoah's from Australia.
Australia's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I've ridden a lot in Australia, but I would like to ride in different places. Because the Nullarbor, it's the Nullarbor Plain, which is very, very long. I think there's two or three main roads which go all the way through. I mean, well, is it the longest straight road in the world, I think. Definitely the longest straight road in Australia is there, and it's 100 and something miles long. And then there is nothing, except for a few roadhouses. Not most interesting ride in the world.
Overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
Underrated. I'm not going to comment because I've not...
Most people just go to Spain, don't they?
That's not the Southern Hemisphere.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Explore more.
Chocolate,
be careful.
Chocolate vases, ride snacks. I want them to... I would like to say they're underrated, but they're always just going to melt. So
Southern Hemisphere,
rubbish.
No way.
Having spoke to Will off our podcast last week, they're not the optimal ride snack.
Too much fat.
Too much fat, yeah. Which might cause belly issues and that kind of thing. I mean, if you like them, do it, whatever. I mean, I am a chocolate lover, but I think it is going to melt. And also, just maybe a bit like sticky around your mouth as well. You've then got to swill it out and stuff. I think there's probably better options.
I did used to use Mars bars and Snickers for running, where I was doing like ultra distance stuff. You just have them in your backpack, so they're not going to melt in your backpack because it's not actually getting that hot. And that was great, just to have some what felt like solid food.
Cheap as well compared to purpose made stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe not the perfect ratios of carbs to fat. Protein, but
so I say overrated. Beards, he says, it's coming into winter here. I definitely rate my chin warmer.
Have you ever had a beard, Francis? Like a big beard?
No, it doesn't grow. It gets slightly bushy, and then it doesn't get any more. Nothing happens. It just stops dead.
That's spray on, though, isn't it?
Yeah, spray on beard. Yeah, yeah. This is AI.
Is that like TikTok filter?
Yeah.
I think beards are probably overrated. Although I do have a annual beard grow.
I have a theory about beards. I think they are the men's equivalent of makeup. And this is not a derogatory thing. I wear makeup. Wear makeup if you want to. Have a beard if you want to. However, I think it can drastically change your facial shape for the better.
Have you seen the photos? Who's the guy who plays Khal Drogo? And he's in Dune. You know, the Aquaman. What's that guy's name? Someone's done a before and after, but it's like a fake.
Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. There's a picture, which I'll find for you, Emily, of him with a beard and without a beard, but it's not his real face underneath, but it's like.
And again, I think, you know, if you want to change your, if you want to have a stronger jaw, if you want to have a more pointy jaw, more chiseled, defined jaw, grow a beard because it works wonders.
Or do loads of jaw exercises.
Yeah, perhaps. Or, you know, implants. We've talked about implants. I have the biggest chin in the world. Jimmy was saying how incredibly meaty it is. And I was saying people pay a lot of money for
a meaty chin.
Chins this good.
You guys should see Emily in real life, not the AI version that you've been watching for the last 2 years on the podcast.
Yep. Is anyone else going to add a rating for this one?
What was it? Chins? No.
No, beards.
Mm.
Underrated. I think you can do a lot with a beard.
Mm. Underrated.
Hot chips. He says starch, salt, bonza.
I don't know whether he means
Chips.
Spicy crisps or hot chips, as in like fries. The temperature. We talking crisps or are we talking fries? And we talking temperature hot or spicy hot?
What, you've been to Australia.
Yeah.
Do they call chips chips? They must.
We didn't see anyone because we went across the Nullarbor.
They must call chips chips like we do.
What do Australians?
It chips is chips.
Call.
They're more English than us. Goes the scale.
Oh, there's a Wikipedia entry for hot chips. Australians and New Zealand English uses chips both for what North Americans call fries and for what Britons called
chips.
Crisps.
So cold chips must be crisps. Hot chips, that's what it is. Hot chips is British chips. Cold chips is crisps. That's what I reckon it is. So, well, surely the whole world knows how much I love chips. I once ate a large bag of chips in 57 seconds.
Good fact.
Good fact.
Mm-hmm. Very proud of that moment.
So, they're incredibly well rated.
They're incredibly chips. Well rated and they are massively underrated.
For good reason.
Yep. Mm. He says, P.S. Here's a picture of me after dragging my sweaty butt over 500 kilometres at the Malay Blast 100. Great entry-level, long-distance, self-supported event. And it's a picture of him jumping next to his bike.
With
a beard.
He
seems fun.
He does, doesn't he? If you have a suggestion for overrated or underrated, please send it to wildonespodcast@cademedia.co.uk and we might read one out in a future episode. Next up, we have Fluff Up of the Week.
I have two from last week. Eagle-eyed viewers may have noticed that the jersey behind Jimmy's head jumped position a couple of times.
That was my fault.
I mean, it was in front of the door and then we had to stop halfway through and go for a little wee-wee and then come back and it got moved to a different position. And then we recorded another segment for the intro where you said, it's our nutrition special and the thing jumps around. Meanwhile, on Will's side, the camera was set up for photo settings, which had some weird auto-exposure thing. So Will's camera keeps getting lighter and darker and lighter and darker all the way through. So that was annoying. And then I deleted loads of pictures that we'd taken of cycling Mikey before I'd done clips for the Clips channel. So we didn't have any pictures of his face to use for thumbnails. So yep. It was just a bit of a disastrous week last week, to be honest.
We also got scammed.
Did we? Oh. Yeah,
we paid for a new front door in December and then the company has decided to just not...
Oh, just you guys. I thought Cade Media.
No.
Cade Media's you guys, okay. That's fine.
Yeah,
we did. We lost £350 to a scam front door company.
Yep.
God damn it.
Along with about 20 other people.
Oh,
what, yeah. They just disappeared?
Yeah, they've just said that they've just closed down. So they've ran away. They've just gone.
Wow.
Yep.
Fortunately, we are on the bottom end of how much money has been lost. Someone's lost $6,500.
Well, and all your stuff's gone missing because you've got no front door.
Yeah.
Someone just walked in.
They didn't take the front door as well. What else is there? Obviously, yeah, Catherine pissed on the floor.
I just broke my bike.
Did you?
Yeah. I put a Garmin mount on it and I did up the bolt and kept doing it up. And then it went through one of the brake hoses. And now the brake
doesn't work. You actually broke that?
Yeah, I broke it just now.
Oh, right.
That's why I said, I just broke my bike.
I thought about you the other day. When was it? Sunday. Because I snapped a screw on one of my steps.
I'm good at breaking stuff. I just need to... All it had to do was get to Nick's shop because I'm changing the headset bearings anyway, which means redoing the internal cabling and the cable routing. So it only needed to get from there to there. I can get there with one break. It's fine.
Illegal.
Nick's problem now.
That's illegal. You'll have to walk it.
It is illegal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll definitely walk it.
Let's head over to emails because it's time for Listener's Takeover. So this one is from Stuart. I was listening to an episode of the podcast where the topic of teleporting into a bank vault with your bike was mentioned. That does ring a bell.
Yeah, it was on our Would You Rather, I think.
It brought up some memories of this story about an American Olympian hopeful who used to rob banks using a custom steel racing bike as his getaway vehicle. The article itself seems pretty embellished, but makes for a fun read. It got me thinking, which of the three of you would make the best bank robbing cyclist? Kind regards, Stuart.
Mm.
King regards. No one ever suspects the cyclist. I said this about drug smuggling in previous episodes, didn't I? And someone pointed out the Lance Armstrong thing. Again, good point. But really, no normal member of the public ever suspects the cyclist. So if you robbed a bank and then you went riding off, full lycra, everything.
Yeah.
I don't know where you'd put the spoils, panniers if you were quick enough. But police would just be like, oh, that's a cyclist, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd probably get hit by a car, incidentally.
Yes, and then be, oh, no.
I think if you walked in full lycra, you'd be pretty identifiable. If you walked in normal clothes and then got on a bike, perhaps, or stripped it off. There's that scene in Happy Valley, actually, where he gets out of jail. He breaks out of, spoilers.
Oh, he does that, doesn't
watch
he?
Watch Happy Valley, it's great. But he breaks out of jail and then jumps into full lycra and goes off cycling. Up the Dale, doesn't
yeah,
he in his cycling kit. So it's actually a great cover.
I would say the best, not necessarily at robbing, but at getting away on a bike, is going to be Francis, because he is a well-versed endurance long-distance cyclist, and therefore he just gets on his bike and just keeps going.
I've already thought about it as well. I watched Place Beyond the Pines the other day, and there's a bit in it where they rob a bank with a motorbike, and then cleverly they then change vehicle. His mate's waiting for him on the side of the road with a van with the like trailer bit down, so he drives straight onto the van. They close it up and then they're driving a van. So it's what you do with the bike. You'd ride the first 10 minutes 15 minutes. By the time people were like, no, it's the guys, there was the cyclist dressed as a cyclist, by that point you're already in another vehicle,
exactly,
making a getaway and full of panniers. Diamonds in the panniers.
Have you ever seen that?
Gold bars.
That show on Channel 4 that's called Hunted, where they try to evade police. They go on the run for 30 days or something like that. It's a similar sort of thing to that. You have to create disguises and that kind of thing. But the problem is they profile you. So if we were ever on that show, they would know you were a cyclist. So you almost, you can't do that. You have to be you have to be a fisherman or something like that. Do the opposite.
Shimano though.
Yeah, exactly. Shimano. Get one of those Shimano jet things for the back of your fishing boat.
Wait, why are we talking about Shimano?
Because they do fishing stuff.
Yeah, but that's not going to make you get away from a bank robbery better. Shimano.
No, it makes you pose as a better fisherman.
Fishman. Yeah.
Oh, more legit.
Yeah. I see. Next. Hi, guys, and Bella the dog. Matthias from Denmark here. Thank you for an amazing podcast and an even better YouTube channel. I always listen when I'm commuting to my office in Copenhagen. I spent most of the time at work or with my two children, and I don't have much free time to be out on the ram, which is slang for bike frame in Danish. My dilemma is this. I love my 2020 Alloy Scott Speedster 10, on which I spent too much money on upgrading already. I live in the middle of the forest, and I would really like to ride gravel. It would be easy to go out in the evening when the kids are sleeping. But I can't afford a good gravel bike, so I'm thinking of either buying a set of gravel wheels with 33mm gravel tyres, as my Speedster fits the wide tyres, or buying a used mountain bike. My budget is £500 to £600. Is 33mm tyres okay, or should I go for the mountain bike? Hope you can help me decide. Best regards, Matthias.
Ooh. I wonder what wheels you can get for like £400. It doesn't really matter if they're heavy, if you're just having a fun ride around the woods. And then doing suspension stem or suspension seat post or both.
Ooh.
But then I guess you're committed to...
You don't need that though.
But then it's on your road bike as well.
Yes.
Which you might not want.
Yeah.
You're adding weight.
We also know those stems and seat posts are crazy money.
It's expensive. Yeah. Really expensive.
But I just
but we've
don't
never
think
tested
you...
the cheap one from Decathlon, which is always out of stock because it must be the best suspension seat post in the world.
But you just don't need it though for like a...
You don't.
A clean gravel ride. You know, I'm assuming it's not UK gravel, which is actually mountain biking.
Mm.
For me, it ultimately comes down to grip. What he isn't going to be able to get into that frame is a gravel tire that has lots of traction. So if he's going to be riding in the wet, if it's going to be muddy, if it's really hilly and or muddy as well, where you need to rely on those knobbles, he's going to have a better time on a mountain bike. If, however, it's clean gravel riding where it actually is gravel and not too muddy, then I would just go for the tires.
Mm.
Does he even need a wheel set?
It will be like a file tread, won't it? Anything more and it's going to start rubbing bits of your frame and stuff.
I'm assuming he wants a wheel set so that he can just switch out easily rather than having to change tyres constantly.
But a relatively cheap test would be just to buy the tyres.
Yeah.
Buy the tyres, get them on the existing wheel set, go for do some rides, see if you enjoy it, see if they are capable. If they are, then you consider spending money on an extra wheel set.
Mm.
If they're not, then all you've lost is the cost of the tyres, although you can probably sell them to one of your mates and then get a mountain bike.
That's good advice.
True. You did a lot of, there was a point where you had a couple of Scott mountain bikes and we were going out on gravel rides and you were on your mountain bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, me and Francis rode to Scotland with him on a mountain bike.
Oh yeah, of course.
On the road.
On the road. We ended up doing a road ride to Scotland. I was on a gravel bike, he was on a mountain bike, and it was savage.
I feel like you guys have done videos on gravel versus mountain bike as well.
Yes,
what
we
you
have,
gain
yeah.
and what you lose. Mm-hmm.
That was really fun, actually.
You could have a look at that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could, I mean, a hardtail, if 500-600 pounds, you'll still get a fun hardtail and you could ride that around and have a great time. Just don't expect it to be fast. But if that's not your goal, then an extra bike is quite nice. And it means if you do brakes, you break your bike. What if you have some catastrophic, I don't know, car crash? Your bike's destroyed.
Keep it light, Francis.
Bad example. And at least you've got another bike.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Francis.
I mean, you're probably not going to need it for a while if it's catastrophic. But anyway, on a lighter note.
No, you come out unscathed. The bike is destroyed.
Okay.
But then you also have to store an additional bike. And as we know, yeah. The more bikes you have, the more annoying it is.
Hmm.
So the end of this was, hope you can help me decide. What have you decided?
We can't help you decide.
My vote is get some new tyres. Yeah. To just new tyres to start with and see how you get on.
I agree.
Matthias also said he thinks that you'll hate the colour of his bike.
What, me?
You, Jimmy.
Me specifically?
Yeah, he said that. I took it out because it was in brackets and it broke up the sentence weird, but he thinks that you'll hate. It's just, it's silver.
Shiny.
It's nice. Yeah.
Silvery shiny.
It's a silver frame with a black fork.
Yeah, that's good.
And tan walls. It's nice. Nice bike.
It's one of the nicer speedsters.
Yeah.
And those tan walls are a nice tan colour. It's like a lovely cup
scale.
Of tea.
Oh, T scale.
I think that's a great bike.
Mm. Yep. Ooh, I'm going to finish off with some more town signs. It's been a while since we talked about town signs, but we've had special guests on who've had a lot more interesting stuff to say. However, we got sent a load of funny town signs. So I'm going to read out a couple. Well, a list of the best ones. So we had a lot of shout outs for the town of Ugly in Essex. Thanks to Darren on emails and the rest who sent them.
That's where Francis lives.
Ugly.
Ugly. Ugly. Chris said, I regularly ride past a sign for Bully Hole Bottom in South Wales.
Bully Hole Bottom.
Yeah. Someone else said, don't forget about the cyclist that rode from Poo Poo Point, Washington to Pee Pee Creek, Ohio.
That almost sounds like some of the place names that you were banging on about when you and Chris were in Australia.
In Australia, yeah.
That definitely seems like some of them, doesn't it?
Robbing 1971 says, there's a Bell End in Wollaston, Northamptonshire. I'm sure there's a few.
It's one of them in every city.
Bucket of Crust says,
These names are great. Robbing 1971 and Bucket of Crust sound like really good place names.
Yeah. I used to live beside Muff in Ireland. Tourists would always be there getting photos of Muff Diving Club.
Oh, Jesus.
And lastly, Chris says, there's a steepish road near me called Buttery Lane. The segment is just called Buttery Lane Climb. But the gravel track that runs parallel to it is called I Can't Believe It's Not Buttery. And the next segment along is called You Butter Believe It. And then some wonderful person whose hand I would love to shake called the next segment Anchor Spreadable. That's great.
There are some very clever people in the world, aren't there?
So thank you everyone who sent those in or commented them.
We should do one on mountain bike trails.
Are there funny ones?
Oh, there's some real naughty ones.
That's all for this week. Thank you for listening. Keep sending in your email stories and fun stuff to wildonespodcast@cademedia.co.uk. Drop us a like, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, What's It, or whatever you listen to the podcast on. It really helps us grow the podcast. See you in the next week, guys. Thank you very much.
In Bye. The next week.
Yeah.
In it.
We'll see you in the next week. In the next week, we will be there and we will see you there in it.
See you there.
Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.